Right, welcome in, folks, to the Camel Kicker Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, along with Chuck.
How you doing, sir?
What's going on, sailor?
I'm doing good, Captain. How are you?
Yeah, Sergeant, I'm doing well. Yeah. Appreciate everybody kicking it with us today. We're actually doing a little bit different, so we're not talking our regular TV series. That'll be the next episode. We're talking about the top shows of the first half of the year, 2024.
So we're not including House of Dragon and The Bear. All right. So we're going to do – so I've watched 20, Mike's watched 16. So I'm going to list my – or sorry, I watched 19 shows. Yep. I'm going to list my 9 that didn't make it.
Okay.
And not really talk about – and I'm not going to do any – these are in any particular order. Well, they're kind of in an order. So The Sympathizer, which started off so well and just kind of drifted for me. I think it'd be a better movie on HBO. And then I've got like 4 documentaries that I watched on HBO. Massacre of the Mormons, God Save Texas, which is Richard Linklater. It's like a 3-part series. It starts off like the state penitentiary and Sam Houston, Huntsville, which his first episode was really good. The Synanon Fix, about this California place in the 60s. What Jennifer Did, but like a college age girl killing her parents. True Detective Night Country, which was, I had ranked 18th. In my list,
overall,
the only worst one was Love Undercover on Peacock, which is a reality show about 5, like, quote unquote, professional soccer players, but that like were hooking up with skanks in Los Angeles, or Finding Love. And then like The Big Door Prize season 2 on Apple TV, and Tires on Netflix. So I had Tires about 14th. It was funny, but I don't think it
didn't crack the top 10.
Yeah,
it didn't crack.
I burned through it in like a day. I mean, it was very watchable, very funny.
Yeah, so it's an easy watch.
I have to rewatch it sometime. What's your non-top 10?
Yeah, so my non-top 10. So looking back, I watched 16 shows total that I can catalog. I can give you True Detective season 4, season garbage, night
garbage shithole.
Duty. Yeah, fucking, I put that dead last because that was so disappointing. After the first episode, it just fucking lost its way.
First, like, episode or two, you're like, this is going to be awesome. True Detective's back.
Yeah.
they've
figured out the formula. They've got it back under control. And then you just start throwing lines at me from season 1 like I'm some sort of fucking fanboy. I'm out. Time is a flat circle. Blah, blah, blah. I've heard it all, dude. You're nothing new. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Clipped, the FX Hulu series. I had that just above it. And the only thing that made it decent was Ed O'Neill playing Donald Sterling. Mm-hmm. Horrible character to play, but guy played it hilariously. I mean, my God, I love him from Modern Family and Married with Children. But I think FX is stumbling with their historical fictions.
They had some good ones in the past, like the OJ.
Even the Clinton one was okay. Like that, I think that's where you started to see the cracks come through. But this one was just poorly miscast. I mean, crazy to hear the story and all of that. But it's second to last. And which is saying something, because then I could throw Below Deck season 11 and Below Deck Med season 9 above both of those. And that's fucking insane because those are reality TV shows.
Yeah.
And then I would put Ted season 2.
Season 1. Yeah.
Yeah. I would put that at like just below my top 10. And then I'll give an honorable mention to Tires season 1. I like Shane Gillis. I think, he and I are like the same age. I find that dude fucking hilarious. It was a show entirely that great? No, which is why I didn't crack the top 10, but I think it has potential. But it was an interesting for a comic that's kind of blowing up right now.
He's does a really good Donald Trump impression, and didn't he get fired
amazing.
from Saturday Live as a writer pretty quickly? But
yeah, he was going to star
he's
on it,
funny.
and then got ousted, and then he just started killing it on the stand up scene, and SNL invited him back to be a guest host. I mean, it's fucking insane. Yeah, his story's crazy, but he's a big college football fan like we are, so like to hear him talk about like College Football 25, which is impossible to play on the fucking rookie level, even for a punk bitch like me. But we'll talk about that on another segment.
Yeah, we've got to play online against each other to see if we're truly just bad at the game.
Yeah, we need to. But then that leads me into my top 10. I don't know if you had an honorable mention, but I figured I'd throw an honorable mention out there.
No, I mean, my honorable mention would be probably The Big Door Prize Season 2. I really like that show on Apple TV. And it's smart, it's witty, and it's fun. And like with the slate we had this year, I could have put it in the top 10. But
yeah. I was torn between honorable mention of Tires or Ted Season 1, because Ted Season 1 had me some really good giggles.
Yeah, so you may hear more about Ted Season 1 here shortly.
I like that. All right.
So let's start with the 10.
Yeah.
What do you have for number 10?
This might surprise you a little bit, because I think it was in your non-top 10. I had The Sympathizer.
That was also right outside of mine. But
yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. You didn't have it ranked. I had it ranked. Robert Downey Jr., I think, could have been nominated for an Emmy had the show close out better. I think he killed it, playing like five different people
in
the
amazing.
Show.
But
now it's been overshadowed by him being announced as Dr. Doom in the new Fantastic Four movie. And that's going to blow up in the Marvel Universe shit. So I had Sympathizer at 10. Good, but could have been better.
Gotcha. I had Ted Season 1. So love Seth MacFarlane. Ted. By the way, I watched A Million Ways to Die in the West on Netflix. And like, amazing. I forget how funny he is.
So good.
But Ted Season 1, I thought it was a really good look at John and Ted's like teenage years. So I was pleasantly surprised being on Peacock and not sure how it was going to be. So it's just funny and it was sweet. And they threw a lot of kind of like, you know, scenarios in there that you wouldn't think of for that period of time that wasn't talked about back in the 80s. I think the time period 80s, 90s. So funny stuff related to a lot of it as a kid growing up at age. So it was funny. So it was, you know, I wanted to kind of start to think about that's my only comedy in the top 10. So, you know, I wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh no, maybe it's. I have another comedy.
Yeah, I have one or two. Yeah, maybe one. Ted is surprisingly funny. I find myself quoting it more often than I realized I would. Seth MacFarlane is just a genius, and it's a ridiculous premise that a teddy bear comes to life. Who the fuck would have thought of that? And then he turns out to be a degenerate. Like, it's so great. I can't wait for season two. Yeah, it's just gonna be great.
What do you have for number 9?
Number 9, I have Curb Your Enthusiasm season 12. And I don't think you
watched
that.
I didn't watch it. No. So tell me, how does it compare to the other seasons? And was this the final season?
This was the final season, if you believe Larry David. I mean, he said that like the last three seasons, like this is the last one, I swear. And then like 3 years later, he drops a new season. It's on par with the rest of the show. I mean, it's crazy. It's ridiculous premise. It's basically a mirror of the last season of Seinfeld, where they all get in trouble for something legal. It's so funny. there are better seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but it's Larry David. And the guy just says shit that we all wish we could say in public to people who are just doing dumb shit. Like, yeah, people taking too long to pay the check at the restaurant, and you're waiting for a table, and you're like, hey, pay up and get out. Like,
yeah,
nobody
yeah.
would ever say that in reality, but
Go talk at the valet stand or outside or go back to someone's house. Yeah.
yeah, just saying shit nobody would ever be able to get away with. But I mean, he's the real life George Costanza, and that's what I liked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen episodes and I got to go back and do a watch of all the seasons, but
yeah,
he's a genius.
Oh, and there's an episode where he like learns how to play golf better, and his friends are like talking shit that he'll never be able to hit the golf. Like, there's the deaf guy from Coda from Apple TV who's like golfing. He's like right in front of the green, and they're like, go ahead, you're never gonna hit that guy. And he fucking hits him, and he's like, four. The guy obviously can't hear him.
I saw that clip.
Yeah. It's gold, man. Yeah. So he just thinks the shit that's funny, but that's who I had at number nine. What'd you have?
At number nine, I had The Jinx Part Two, which is on HBO. It's a documentary. Jinx Part One, I think, came out in 2015 or 2016. That kind of rekindled my love of like true crime documentaries. And after that came out, and they basically caught him on camera or caught him on mic peeing and saying like, I don't know why, like, I killed them all. And you're like, what the fuck? You know, like, yeah, this just happened. And like, now that led to like guilty verdicts and all kinds of stuff. So this documents like his trial in LA for one of the killings. And unlike the Galveston, like Rusty Harden, I think it was Rusty Harden, the Houston high power attorney that got him off in Galveston, because they were like, yeah, I mean, he cut up the body, but he didn't kill him. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, not guilty, you know, like, but in California, they did, you know, there's like no evidence, and they're like, not, you know, no evidence, but you know, they did a better job in that case than the one in Galveston where he cut up his neighbor, Morris Black. But, you know, basically he killed, I think, three or four people, and he finally got caught on one of them. You know, it's a very, very, New York, you know, high money family, parent, you know, father was a real estate mogul, blah, blah, blah. But, just intriguing around, that style of documentary of like, whodunit, guilty, not guilty. And it kind of then led into like that one that became famous on Netflix where, you know, I forget, the people in Wisconsin that talked funny, and, I'm blank on the show, but I think there was like two seasons of that. But it kind of kicked out, rekindled the
Tiger King
documentary. Tiger King aside, I was at Value Village, like this thrift shop in the Heights, and there was socks and had like a picture of a tiger, and it said "Fuck Carol Baskin." I need to go back and buy them. Like, I don't know why I didn't buy them. I'm gonna go back tomorrow and buy them and wear them in the office.
It's you definitely awesome. Should. That's amazing.
All right, I'm going back tomorrow after work.
Nice.
So yeah, I don't want to talk too much, but documentary is real good. What you got for eight?
Number eight. I had The Boys season four, which just wrapped up like a week or two ago. I don't know if you call that a comedy. I mean, it's like calling The Bear a comedy. It's just dark, and maybe it's dark comedy. I don't like, but
I mean, Barry was a comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a great serial documentary, serial kill reenactment, but or Hitman or whatever. But yeah.
Comedy. The Boys is just like the fucked up, like, what if superheroes were real and they were actually degenerates?
Yeah.
It seems like it's just, and I think it's the lowest rated season so far. Just like The Bear has, you know, it's just progressing, and you know, it's kind of the same shit over and over. But not that I'm gonna say that about The Bear, but the next season of the Boys is the final season, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But it definitely cracked the top 10. It was my number eight. What about yours?
My number eight was Lessons in Chemistry. On Apple TV. Brie Larson was really good. I didn't have the book is supposed to be amazing. I not probably nor my normal cup of tea, but I found myself quite emotional in the last few episodes, but very well done. Dwight Schrute plays like a Rainn Wilson plays like this television manager in it. It's just a good story. It's not ever. I think people think it's based on true story, but it's like an amalgamation of like cooking shows in the 50s. But the lady's a chemist by trading, gets hired to do cooking shows. But it's good. I recommend it. It's a little bit to get through. We watched like the first three episodes and then took like a 5 month break and then just finished up like last weekend. So
interesting. Yeah.
But it's good. I recommend it. It's a good show.
Nice. Let's see. That leaves us with seven. Number seven. Yeah. I've got The Three Body Problem season one at number seven.
Ooh, so I had that higher.
Okay, so we'll save that. We'll
wait on that. I have Sugar on Apple TV with Colin Farrell or Farrell.
Yeah.
It is a genre of the neo-noir, you know, kind of like stylistic of the 30s, 40s, 50s of that drama
like
where
that.
The kind of private eye detective is talks to him, you know, you hear his inner monologue, you know, like, oh, that dame's got legs, you know,
yeah,
as long as a giraffe neck.
Third person narration. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it's got a little bit of that. Holly from The Office is in it.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. James Cromwell's in it. It's
wow.
Got some badass people in it. And it's way better than expected. And I have to tell you this. I don't want to ruin it in case you watch it, but it starts as this neo-noir crime drama and somehow turns into like a science fiction book. It's fucking insane. And it doesn't do that till like the second to last episode.
Wow.
So some people could be like, what? Like, this cheated me out of like what I thought the show was, but I thought it was like pretty brilliant. So it honestly could have been, I could have had it higher, but I was pretty stuck in on the rest of them, but it was good. It was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
Our improv teacher talked about it and recommended it. And I'm like, I want to see Colin Farrell and the Penguin.
Right. That's coming.
Versus this, but yeah.
Yeah. Cromwell is a very underrated like actor these days. He does a lot of side characters. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. What do you have for number six?
Number six, I have Fallout season one.
Mm. I haven't watched that, so
I'll say Walton I can't
Goggins.
Remember the name of the leading lady in it. But she was from Yellow Jackets, I think it was, which was a show on another.
Was it Melanie Lynskey?
It might be. I don't remember. But other than her, I will say Walton Goggins. The dude's stock is never as high as it's ever been. He's doing this. He's in the next season of White Lotus. The guy is on Apex Mountain. I mean, he's crushing it right now. He may not be on Apex Mountain. He may just be getting started. But between Righteous
Gemstones,
he's on
Goggins Mountain.
He's on Goggins Mountain, dude. Yeah. The game was really close to the show, or the show was really close to the video game.
Nice.
It's another adaptation, like we saw for The Last of Us, but
the
very
Last of Us.
Like you know, humor and sci-fi and emotional sometimes. It was a really good show. I enjoyed it more than I thought it was. Yeah. So I put it at six. Yeah. What'd you have
nice,
at six?
Nice. I had Resident Alien season three.
Okay.
So one of my favorite shows all time just to watch, season one, two, and three. I started rewatching. It's been on Peacock, but Netflix now has the first two or three seasons.
Yep.
I think in the fall it comes back. I'm not sure the date yet, but it is. Alan Tudyk is amazing. And it's just an alien living as a doctor in the United States in fucking Colorado, and calamity ensues all the time. And now, but it's getting a little serious, which is also good, but it's still got funny stuff. But
that's good. Another underrated actor, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. He's so good in that part too. So
yeah,
I highly recommend that. Also, Alan Tudyk, the priest, or Egg, or Anne's dad in Arrested Development.
That's right. Oh my gosh.
So, I always think about him now. But yeah, so highly recommend. Funny nice. Show. What do you have for five?
Number five, I have Mr. and Mrs. Smith from Amazon Prime.
I got to watch that. One of my favorite people is in it, and I haven't even watched it yet.
Donald Glover, it's got some great acting in it. Is it like the movie? Kind of, but in a different spin. It's a little bit more modern take. It's like 8 episodes. They're hour longs. You get to see your girl, Sarah Paulson, drops in for like an episode or two.
Ooh. My she's American like a Horror Story love.
Hilarious. Yeah. No, it's a really good underrated show that I think was talked about a lot, but not a lot of people watched it. Really good acting. Donald Glover killed it. I mean, it's just all around. Really good show. Yeah. What'd you have for number five?
I had Three Body Problems.
Okay, here we go.
I was unfamiliar with the book, but you had told me about the book and then watched the show. I could not imagine the concepts in the book to do that in a TV show, and I thought they did a fantastic job. It was amazing. Like, now, I think we talked about this when we talked about Three Body Problems. The first 5 episodes were unreal, and then you figure out what's going on, and then now you have, like, what, 30 years to figure out how to solve the problem? Or there's some exorbitant, or 90 years, I forget the total time, but so to me, it's going to be interesting going forward how season 2 develops, but really good.
A book in it on the internet in terms of theory and idea on science fiction. People like you and I have been in space and stuff, but you did a show which has to deal with kind of, okay, no, we have to prepare, and it's going to take multiple generations to stay like on top of getting. Like, that's. And the human brain takes their own fuck 80 years. It doesn't happen. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Hey, you may want to check your mic. You cut out a little bit there. I don't know if it was me or you. But, the Three Body Problem. It's just. I mean, I think I need to read the book because I think. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen. But yeah, now you got time to figure it out. Yeah. Maybe. Or you don't. So
maybe. Do people stay interested long enough, right? I mean, that's the problem with humanity. We give a shit about like going carbon neutral until we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, until money or something else comes along. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a banger number five. I'll give you that one. Number four, I had Presumed Innocent. And I just finished this on Apple, and let me tell you, it crept up the top 10 real quick because it was a week to week watch. And I was so like jazzed about the show after like the third episode. So it's a TV show that was a movie with Harrison Ford. That was.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so I had to go, I couldn't wait. And I went to Wikipedia to see how the movie and the book ended, to see what was going to happen. And I can tell you, it's nothing like the book or the movie.
No?
Nice. Nothing like it. You think it's going to be, but it's not. It's insane. So Jake Gyllenhaal crushes it. His wife, I unfortunately don't know her name, There's so many actors in this show that are really good. It's a crazy thriller. I mean, it's probably the best legal drama of the year. I mean, it's that good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I that's on the list to watch. So
yeah.
Watched a lot of Apple TV this year. That's not one of it, but it's gonna
yeah.
It's gonna be on the list.
What'd you have for number four?
Jules. I had Shogun, which okay. You may be surprised this is down this far, but I have Shogun, and this year was the year of me really loving Japanese culture so much that I'm going to go to Japan, and not next year, but the year after.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to go.
Yes, I do.
But it's really well done. Really well acted. The main character, the Gaijin, is often funny at times because he's like, looks like a wild-eyed idiot, and he's not really an actor. Like, he's in some like band in Australia or something. Like, no one knows who it is, but he does a good job. By the end, you really start to kind of like care what happens to him and stuff, but it's just, well, I love the cinematography, the visual. I mean, this has been like, this is a book. It's been a TV series. It's been a mini series. It's been a movie. It's been another movie. I mean, it's not like, and this keeps getting redone, but I think this was very well done. And I also watched this week to week, and it was one of the shows that I was excited to watch every week. So
nice. Have you seen the thickness of the book? And not like in like book 1, 2, and 3. Like, have you seen the book all together? Dude, it's like fucking 6 inches. It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's the acting and the Japanese actors are amazing. Yeah. And it's a show that's a lot in subtitles, which is also right up my alley. So yeah.
Definitely.
You gotta finish it.
Yeah. It's definitely on the to finish in August. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And what do you got for three?
Yeah, now we're into our top three. I think we'll have some similarity here because I think we've whittled it down to like at least the three shows that I can think of, but it'll be interesting to see what order you have them in. But for me, number three, Fargo season 5.
So I have that just a little bit higher.
Ah.
I have Outer Range at number 3.
Ah, okay. There we go. Yeah.
What do you have? You have that higher?
I do. I have that just a little bit higher. Yeah.
All right, so talk then, well, the matter what order. So what do you have Fargo as? 3? I have Fargo as 2.
Yeah.
And you have Outer Range as?
2.
2?
Yeah.
And I have Fargo, I have Outer Range as 3.
Yeah,
so
we flipped, yeah.
Fargo season 5, my 2, your 3.
Yeah.
John Hamm, the bird from The Office. I mean, from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Juno
Temple. Yeah.
Juno Temple, the dude from Stranger Things, Joe Carey.
Oh yeah.
The Sin Eater.
Oh yeah.
The cop from that was on New Girl.
Lamar Morris. Yeah.
Lamar Morris.
The mother-in-law, can't remember her name.
Jennifer Jason Lee.
Yes.
And we're missing some other people.
Sure.
But man, what Fargo does well is put great actors and actors you wouldn't put together. I mean, Juno Temple, British actor, great in Ted Lasso, is playing like a Midwest housewife.
Nailed it.
A former wife of freaking Mad Men himself, like, who plays a North Dakota sheriff, like, to perfection.
Yes.
And his kind of underachieving son is Joe Carey, who just wants approval from his dad is basically almost the same age as Juno Temple's character in the show.
Yeah.
You know, or they grew up brother and sister almost, you know, is unreal. I mean, this, I think that our top three, like, they're the reason why this year in TV doesn't suck.
100% accurate.
These shows were so fucking good.
Yes.
I mean, Fargo, week to week. I mean,
dude, we talked about that every day in the office about John Hamm crushing every scene he was in. The whole storyline behind the Sin Eater and the weirdness that, like, these guys bring to Fargo about, like, the supernatural plus the sci-fi plus the the Midwest, like, motif and all. Just, it's mind-blowing.
Like a half episode was a flashback to the 1400s, and you're basically Ula. I think it's Ula.
Yeah.
You find out that he was, like, he's 600 years old and it's like a Sin Eater. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of corollaries at the end to No Country for Old Men with Javier Bardem. Is that? Yeah, so, like, it's like what they do, what Fargo does is, like, what Quentin Tarantino does, what Christopher Nolan does, like, your best directors. They just know it's not even a formula, but they just know cinema and TV. They know what looks beautiful.
Yeah.
What makes a show great. And I mean, Fargo, like any of these three that we're talking about, Fargo could have been easily number one.
Yeah.
You know, those were the only shows that really were like, okay, these are top three.
Yeah, easily we're putting the top three right off the bat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first three. And then I'm like, okay, what order am I gonna put these in?
I think Fargo has like 5 Emmy nominations. Obviously, John Hamm and Juno Temple have both been nominated. I think best original script and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's gonna be a crazy award season this year, and we're gonna have an episode for that. But yeah, Fargo's definitely up there. And there's one scene for John Hamm that he asked me earlier about my favorite episode, and we'll get to that, of the entire year. And I already know which one it is, because it's from Fargo. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, now I'm rethinking, but, what my favorite episode is, but I still got a different one, but it's, it's perfection. All 5 seasons of Fargo have been great. And season 4 was probably the weakest.
Yeah.
But it was still good. I mean, it was still
B plus, you know, is still good. It's a passing grade. It's a B. It was a B plus. It wasn't an A, but it was a B plus.
Yeah, it's not like you know, we talked about True Detective earlier. 4 seasons. 1 was like
pinnacle of TV.
One of the best series of TV ever. Everything below that has been disappointing.
Yeah,
and you can't say that with Fargo.
No.
You can't say that with the other two shows, with the other two with the other seasons we're going to talk about.
Nope.
So it's just, I could have Fargo season 20 and put fucking Sydney Sweeney and like RuPaul in it. I mean, just do like, I mean,
I would watch that.
I'm watching.
Yeah. Like, dude, yeah. And the way they weave in elements from, like, the Coen brothers universe, like, I think it was last season 3 of Fargo, like, they ran into the bar and they saw Sam Elliott at the bar, like, in The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
They just weave in those little things that like, cinephiles, like, appreciate. You know what I mean? Like, it's those knocks.
But... And they do it in a way, it's not like True Detective season 4 where they were like,
cram it, like, down your throat.
They're saying, like, time is a flat circle.
Yeah.
Like
ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Like,
being like, come on.
Yeah.
Don't treat us like idiots.
Yeah. But, come on.
Outer Range. So Outer I had Range. That at 3. You had that at 2.
I had that at 2.
Also, something else I could have put at number 1.
Easily.
very, very disappointing that that didn't get renewed. Season two, like, the positive thing about, if you take one positive away from ending the show, is the end of season two could be the end of the series, because it basically restarts a loop or a new loop of, I mean,
yeah, they just connected the loops. That's it.
Yeah. For those who don't watch Outer Range, season one and two are some of the craziest TV that you'll ever watch.
Easily.
It's a Western with a time traveling portal hole in the ground, but also people can travel back in time just mystically randomly without having to go through the hole, but then come back through the hole.
Yeah.
Joy.
Yeah.
So, like, up in the woods, and somehow it turns into, like, the 1800s, and then but she comes back through the hole.
Yeah.
So we still don't know the mechanism. The sad part is we don't know the time traveling mechanism and the logic behind it, but we don't even really need to know that, because the show is amazing. Josh Brolin is like a rancher.
Yeah. I think that's what's so great about that show is season two ended. And it only closed the loop on the things that actually matter. Like Amy becoming Autumn. Like, that was the main loop of the series, right? Who the fuck is this? Oh, maybe it's the daughter. And then we see that loop get closed. Like, we'll never know, like, who that company was that was mining, like, on the land. Like, we have assumptions, right? But, like, we don't actually know. And then, like, time has a physical manifestation in this black powder goo shit that they find under the ground near where the hole was. It's this crazy concept of a show with these really out there ideas that just so original. It's one of the most original shows I've ever seen.
And I think, you know, for me, time is a very fascinating subject, and we think of time as linear is how our brains understand that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's how time is, or, you know, but that's what, you know, in time travel shows and this show kind of explored, is like, you know, different kind of, the way I interpret it is like different theories on time, and like there's a timeline, and you travel back into, and we don't know. I mean, we know that too, that Royal in the first season went into the fucking future through the hole.
Yeah.
So it's like there's portals to different points in the timeline, and there's a time theory around that. Or is it multiverse? Which there's also theory on the multiverse theory, which they explore in Devs and other shows. Like, it's fucking magical, man. Like, it's just mind-bending.
That's what was so great about Outer Range was, like, we have this perception of time because we live through it in one direction. But what the sheriff went back in time and was like, oh, I've been here for like however many, like 3 years or whatever. She's like, my partner's probably moved on. The kids probably didn't. Yeah. All this stuff. And it's like, dude, you only left like on this time.
Wasn't it like 3 days or something?
And you come back days later. Yeah, like our concept of time is nothing. And then I have no idea where the show was going with it. But, you know, we talk about how all of the loops are interconnected. Is it a single universe, you know, timeline, or is it a multiverse because of what happened with, you know, Royal's son accidentally killing that one guy trying to save another dude?
Yeah.
You just don't know. Like, if they end the show where it is, that's fine. I will take it as one of the greatest mysterical shows ever, because it was fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, and it makes you think of Back to the Future, you know, they go back in the past, and then the timeline skewed, and then now we got to alter, you know, and this is like, is that something like that? And hey, Mike, do you know who president was in 1984?
Ronald Reagan.
The actor? That's my favorite.
So great.
It's such a good, you know, sci-fi time. throw that at me all day long. All day.
And that's the thing, is it doesn't have to be suburbs, 18-year-old kid fucking skateboarding. Dude, yeah, we're talking about a time travel show on a ranch in Wyoming. What?
Yellowstone meets yeah. Like Godfather meets
Back to the
an old Western meets Back to the Future.
Yeah. Insane.
Meets never. Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, kind of. Yeah. Never thought in a million years I would be into that kind of a show. And then I remember we watched it and it was just like, what the hell are we watching?
And the funny thing is, nobody watched it when we watched it, so season one. And then everybody watched it.
Everybody.
Season two. The reviews were good. The number of people watching, like, because people found this show, and watched the first season, like, this is bonkers. Oh, you know, they see the advertisement for a second season, they're like, oh, I never watched the first. Oh, Josh Brolin, watch the first season, and you know, I'm on Reddit, and people are like, holy shit, I didn't, you know, I watched first season, but then everybody, you know, people come up like, well, second season, different director, and it's not as good, and blah blah. But so many people watched it.
Yeah,
it was. With
little to no social media exposure. Amazon Prime was doing jack shit for advertising this on like Instagram and stuff like that. It's
great.
But let me tell you, I like The Boys, and I would give up a season of The Boys to get another season of Outer Range easily.
Yeah, hopefully, I mean, maybe someone else will pick it up, someone else will see the value, but I don't even know if like, if you're going to produce it a different way,
it's such a quirky show. I can't imagine anybody else picking it up. Like HBO takes it and like, I don't know what the hell they would do with it. It's too weird for anybody.
Yeah. And it's almost like Westworld, right? It got canceled also before its time. And obviously, no, for that, no one's picking it up, because it's weird, you know, the same problem, but also that show costs like $700 million to make an episode with all the actors and stuff in there, too. But
that's a problem, right? So, because we talked about, you know, Westworld and stuff. A lot of those writers went to Amazon, and maybe that's where part of this came out of, because Jonathan Nolan is now at Amazon doing Fallout. So could have come from part of his, you know, development team, but. We've talked about it before. HBO is kind of wavered in terms of their hold on the premiere shows. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Two good at two and three.
Yeah. I think we can both say what our number one is, and it's not going to be a surprise.
And our number one was not even on week to week on HBO. It was on streaming on Max.
Full dump.
And it was dump, right?
Yeah.
So I spread it out because I wanted to, you know, treat it, give it the love and respect
it deserves. Savor the flavor.
And that would be Tokyo Vice with our boy Ansel Elgort, which
Preach, brother.
I follow him on Instagram. He should be in Outer Range, because that dude has took on Japanese culture. Like, ooh. I think he lives there now. If you like look at all of the stuff, man, you're like, doing Japanese like art shows and shit. He's an instant and amazing person to follow on Instagram. But Tokyo Vice season two, number one show. I'm pretty sure that's gonna be number one at the end of the year, or I mean, it's gonna be hard to replace it.
Silo will come swinging out of the gates. I'm just trying to think of what shows are left this year. It's going to be hard to fucking dethrone Tokyo Vice.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, it's going to be hard to get rid of the top three, but you do have House of the Dragon, The Bear, The Penguin, Silo. I see, but that's a good problem, because I see three shows that are going to pop right in and knock out some of the bullshit.
Easily.
But the Tokyo Vice season one, amazing.
Stellar.
So for those who don't watch it, it's like based on Jake Adelstein, who was the first American reporter for this newspaper in Japan. Oh, you got the book.
I got the book, baby. Tokyo Vice.
Oh, hell yeah. I got to get that. I got to finish the other 10 books that I bought that I'm right. still reading. I'm like halfway through Stranger in a Strange Land. I got to pick that back up. But fascinating guy. Ansel Elgort plays him very well. This year I listened to like a 9-part podcast where he tells stories about how Japanese people disappear and pay companies to disappear them, which was fascinating.
Yeah.
And they don't tell relative loved ones, but they know that they're okay. They're, you know, like, but this season was unreal. It's not only is it one of the most beautiful shows that you'll watch, again, another great group of Japanese actors. Ken Watanabe, the guy that plays Saito, show is great. The guy that plays the main big bad,
yep,
Tozawa is phenomenal. Like the acting is how this show is not HBO's number one Sunday night show, especially when the regime was like the big spring.
Yeah.
You know, the regime was the big thing at the time. Perplexes me.
Yeah. I don't understand it. You've got Jake Adelstein, the real reporter, doing a 9-episode podcast talking about his life in Japan that you could have released leading up to season 2. All of this is marketing, people. I don't understand the lack of marketing when it comes to some of these shows, but season 2 follows like Adelstein like trying to further his career as a journalist.
Yeah. And,
like the big bad is like out of town, so now he's got to focus on writing, you know, like different articles about like biker gangs and all this stuff, and him like growing his career and becoming a bigger name outside of just being the gaijin, like who now works at a Japanese newspaper. Like now he's developed his career, now he has connections, and then he starts banging, you know, the crime boss's girlfriend, and
the mistress of Tozawa.
And you just get into some of these things that are just, you know, as a kid growing up in Japan, being just this amazing mystical land and wanting to go there, and then seeing something like this makes me want to go, you know, go there. And the acting being just a masterclass of these Japanese actors who were to us unknown. Maybe they were known in Japan before, I don't know. But the guy playing Sho playing Saito, and even Oyabon, you know, who Sho reported to, the old guy. Yeah. I mean, just crushing.
He was great
every episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fantastic. And Ken Watanabe, the detective that Jake Adelstein works with for multiple years. And Ken Watanabe is a well-known, probably the most well-known, you know, Japanese actor in the show. And he delivers an amazing performance too, but it's a very subtle performance compared to everybody else.
Yes.
But not saying it's bad because it was great, but it's completely different. But he's like, you know, a little more and you know, this episode, you know, he's concerned, they're getting deep, and he's concerned about his family, and you know, he's trying to get out of being being a possible hit for, you know,
His family. Yeah.
For his family. And so I mean, for me it's like, oh, this is all real.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the never ending battle of old versus new, right? Old people running the show and younger people trying to take over. You know, the old Oyabon and the guy who was over Tozawa for the time that he was alive, you know, we're all, you know, and Ken Watanabe, we're all preaching, you know, patience and, you know, take the under, take the sleight of hand route when you try to take power. And then you've got Adelstein and Tozawa who are like wanting to just run into everything head first and deal with the consequences later. Like that's, it's just such a great, you know, contrast to each character. So good.
Yeah. And I mean, this is like, you know, if you did like Goodfellas or Godfather as a television series, but with the Yakuza.
Yes.
I mean, it's something that, you know, is there in Japan. And then the old, you know, in that era was very prevalent, you know? So, they do a really good job of, you know, and I think they put some kind of, I mean, they obviously, Tozawa's not the real guy's name, yeah. You know, and some of the, but they do, you know, there are some this season, you know, he gives them information that busts, like, you know, some Yakuza that are in Hawaii, you know, and that's a real thing that happened as well. And you're, you know, and the Tozawa character, the real life mob boss, went to the U.S. for a surgery as well. I mean, there's, it's you know, maybe a little embellished of what really happened, but it's so well done. Do we know if there's season three?
Still don't know. I don't know if there's enough, you know, content there to do a season three. Yeah. They may have wrapped it up. If they do, I'm fine with that. I think it's interesting the contrast between the show and the book, because, you know, in real life, you know, Adelstein doesn't look like Ansel Elgort. You know, he was a kind of a Buddhist as a kid, so he always had a buzz cut head and it was tall, yeah. But I think in the book, by the time he was dealing with the Tozawa character, right, in real life, he was already married with kids. So
yeah,
Ansel Elgort being a young guy with no kids versus, you know, a journalist with kids trying to take down a mob boss. It's two different competing things, which is I now see why they brought in his family in the U.S. But, you know, the opening of the book, it's no giveaway, is the opening scene from season one where he's at the restaurant and they're telling him, either you stop writing or we'll fucking kill you. Like, that's the preface to the book. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the opening of the first season. And that's you don't come back to that until season two, which is amazing.
So well done. I hope we get a season three. If we don't, I understand. But if they do it right, but it's just that show got overlooked by way too many people.
When they could do, you know what they should do, and I would do a Tokyo Vice story.
Yes.
And then you have like what he talked about in the podcast, and you do like, you know, a story of, you know, him investigating missing people and learning about the services and, you know, but you could do something in the same universe. But yeah, I think it's kind of how we saw with Outer Range. I don't think we're going to see any more of Tokyo Vice, but man,
that's the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'd rather go out on top, you know?
Definitely. So. Don't give me two seasons of just stellar performance as opposed to giving me five seasons of great and then shit.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Appreciate everybody for kicking it with us this week. Check out next week. We'll be talking to Bear, and we'll be talking about the wrap up as well as House of the Dragon at some point. Thanks for tuning in this week. Be sure to send us your top five shows, top 10 shows. We're going to be posting ours, so love to see some comparisons. And then, you know, check out the website, check out the Instagram, check out the TikTok. I think we're still working on that. But, yeah, appreciate everybody for kicking it with us. As Cousin likes to say,
Talk to Brada.